You're listening to the From Psychotherapy to Sacred Therapy radio show with Dr. Amelia Kemp. Based on the groundbreaking new book, From Psychotherapy to Sacred Therapy, Alternative Descriptions and Healing Processes for 170 Mental and Emotional Diagnoses Worldwide.
Greetings, everyone. This is Dr. Amelia Kemp, your host, here to remind you that the well-being you seek is already yours by divine right, and that by aligning with the soul makes us whole. We have a wonderful show in store for you today. I am honored to have with me today Joel Ayala Ayapanya, a registered psychiatric nurse, a veteran of the United States Air Force, a talk show host with his new online talk show on BBS Radio Network called Quantum Mindfulness Radio. He's a writer for several magazines and an officiant, and author of the newly released book, The Book of Positive Light. Now, Joel was kind enough to interview me last year on his show, so it is such a pleasure to have him on mine. So, listeners, please prepare for what is going to be a wonderful conversation with Joel, because as I said with regards to his book, that through powerful journal entries, Joel has allowed the expansiveness of spirit to flow through him as he frames his journey in the Book of Positive Light. He honors the diversity of spiritual traditions and universal truths where he graciously opens himself as he teaches and is willing to be taught. So Joel uncovers what I call, the rest of you know, I call the healer within. Welcome, Joel, to the show.
Thank you, Dr. Kemp, for having me here today. And just definitely an honor and a privilege to be on your show. Thank you.
Oh, you're more than welcome. You're more than welcome. So, Joel, as we begin this brand new year, it's 2015 already, filled with the vibration of hope to grow and know who we are and why we are here as fellow soul travelers, I felt that you were actually the perfect guest to help our listeners further understand the fullness of their being, because it is so wonderful to know that a registered psychiatric nurse trained in the traditional medical model, like myself, has written a book that understands the true connectedness between mental health and aligning with one's own inner spirit. So please, tell us a little about yourself and how you arrived at these sacred conclusions.
Well, Dr. Kemp, again, definitely so honored for you to have me on your show. Definitely a privilege for sure, and I am quite honored. And like you had mentioned from your introduction, I am a veteran of the United States Air Force, and along the way, I was very compelled to provide myself as an individual in service to providing for humanity. And what better way to do so than to being a nurse within itself. And along with that, I became a psychiatry nurse by trade. And along the way, through the many struggles of being a human myself, I've acquired the many struggles in life and gone through the ups and downs just like any other human being has. And along the way, from just rediscovering the very person that I am from within, I was able to write and to journal. And from doing that, from amongst the many other things that one can do to reanalyze oneself and to rediscover our main mission and purpose in life, was to exactly do that, to look from within. And so along the way, I was able to write my very first book, The Book of Positive Light, Remembrance of the Heart. And along the way from doing that and how everything has come to me as I began to resonate more of the internal environment as opposed to feeding more into the exterior negativity that was all around me. During the peak of my divorce back in 2009, I experienced a significant amount of loss. Not so much within the physical nature of things, within the finances, loss of material possession, and of course my home, etc., from my first marriage. But what had impacted me the most was within the actual loss of dignity, self-respect, self-worth, for that matter. And as a result, the fear and worry took me in. And so the paradox of it all was this. At the time of my grieving, I was working as a psychiatry nurse, yes. And I still am working today as a psychiatry nurse. And one would think that in order for one to care and provide service to populations and populations of people of whom suffer from, indeed, from depression and anxiety, from what you would agree is the most prominent type of diagnosis from amongst the psychiatry community, hospital caregivers such as myself would have to be just as strong and as resilient. You would think that this was a requirement needed in order to operate within this line of work. But along the whole process of change and within the evolution of my own recovery from depression and anxiety, I began to experience a part of myself, Dr. Kemp, that was essential within the unexpected journey of personalized revolution. There was a spiritual component that integrated itself within the significant amount of coping and resiliency that I had to come across and which was required in order to face the stressors in life. And so this internal philosophy that I had acquired along the way through the struggle and then the overcoming of the fears was what actually had brought me to an inner balance and finding that there is another component to recovery and to basically coping with life, all known stressors in life. And that is to basically, the answer doesn't reside from outside of ourselves, but rather it resides from within. The answer is you from within. And so
exactly.
Your book,
and so it feels as if you're describing an awakening of sorts. So how someone that's been dealing with mental and emotional issues like you're describing, desiring to also realign with what I call their own inner knowing, utilize your book of positive light as a flashlight into their own healing processes and extract this ancient wisdom that you're talking about to manifest the life that they want to live?
Well, Dr. Kemp, you hit it right there, right on the spot. Yes, that inner knowing, just when you would think that the answer was found from outside of ourselves, it was found entirely from a different place. And so this hole that I had dug for myself from all of that struggle within the divorce process led into this abyss. I often refer to this as the abyss, a hole so far deep that I can only see the light from above me, far from where I lay deep into my own depression. But when I started to feel my own heart, I began to see another light, and that was the light from within. And that is exactly when I started to change from within. And I love this. I'm sure it's somewhere written in some type of text, ancient text. In order to know of your light, you must know of your darkness as well, Dr. Kim. I believe in order to know the awareness of things, you would have to determine that or make a comparison between two worlds, the olden world of things and then the newer world of things that your heart was bent to focus upon. And when you're more than able to make a differentiation between those two worlds, between the darkness of yourself and into a place of higher being, you can start to determine that there is a light within you. And that is a light that that is able to shine if you're able and most courageous enough to do so.
Yes, absolutely. There are degrees of alignment in terms of from that spectrum of darkness to light within all of us, and that light is always there. It's always accessible, but our awareness of it and to get realigned back with it is what you're talking about, that sometimes that contrast is what helps you to see it more. They say the light of a candle burns most brightly in its darkest hour, and so sometimes we don't appreciate it until we're really in the midst of the lower vibrational frequencies that we're experiencing in the human condition. So very well said. What I loved about your book was how tender it was that you were so willing to be this unarmored, transparent soul that you're describing to the audience today, sharing your personal experience. But I see that as exposing your authentic self came through once you got to this inner light, which is truly that sacred destination that those reading my book are also, you know, from psychotherapy to sacred therapy will ultimately arrive to. So share with us now what it means to be authentic, because you talk about that in your book, when the conditioning from these outer forces focuses so much on conformity and sameness.
Authenticity. Wonderful question. And thank you, Dr. Kemp, for asking such an intriguing question that we have all faced within our past and the many experiences in life. I do indeed believe that we all struggle with this question every day, yes. And if we don't consciously, well, we most certainly do unconsciously or at least subconsciously. And I do believe that one of the legitimate lessons that I had to go through within my own life from within this whole journey of writing books was this. When one should be within the business of writing self-help books such as ourselves, one should be cognizant and aware that they should be the book as well. We, Dr. Kemp, must not only talk and teach and preach the book, but we must also be well and more than able to be the book as well. Embodiment of the wisdom is something that I had become to learn within the most recent of weeks. And you can speak and you can teach a wisdom or a lesson all day, but if you don't embody that wisdom and you don't become the book, and if you don't essentially experience this wisdom within itself, then the whole message and the teaching and the synchronicity and the integration of the alignment of energies is at a loss for the most part. So when we as humanity may begin to embrace the awareness consciously of this embodiment of wisdom, of a teaching, of a wholeheartedness of things, then a shift in consciousness starts to take itself into effect, not only of our own awakening of sorts, but then you yourself become an example to where once your environment starts to feel that very field of energy, that resonance, then the environment within itself possesses no other choice but to change because of that same exact change that you had made for yourself. And that is just one of the universal laws. And that is how we can essentially change the world and contribute to this awakening of sorts, not only an internal but also an external awakening. It's sort of like a mirror effect, Dr. Kemp.
Yes. You know, Gandhi said it best, be the change you want to see. When you're talking about practicing what you preach, for me, I guess also I see the authenticity that you're describing as a evolution, because even for me, I'm always tweaking my alignment, because sometimes many of the healers, I do a retreat for healing healers, and many times they say to me that they feel like they are frauds because there are moments in their life that command a reaction from them that they feel is less than their higher self would have responded had it been different circumstances. And I have to remind them that as healers, we're human too, and part of being authentic is not being afraid to show that another one of these layers in that onion of life has presented us with the contrast that forces us to release a little more of our resistance. And for if it's any healers listening, please, you know, take that deeply, because we are capable of helping others to heal through our example and guidance, but it's also important that we, a lot of ministers that I've treated, feel that they have to go out of town to even dance. They can't even be authentic in front of their audience because they're scared of being judged and things like that,
right.
Or they have to call in sick. So we want to make sure that authenticity that my audience hears, that we're not saying that we're evolving to a place that we don't make mistakes and that we don't have falls in consciousness. Of course we do. That's part of the human condition. But Joel brings a beautiful point that we do want to practice what we preach, but we want to be gentle and kind with ourselves when we don't make the mark ourselves, especially as healers.
Right. Absolutely.
You're listening to the From Psychotherapy to Sacred Therapy radio show with Dr. Amelia Kemp. Based on the groundbreaking new book, From Psychotherapy to Sacred Therapy, Alternative Descriptions and Healing Processes for 170 Mental and Emotional Diagnoses Worldwide. Available now at Amazon.com and most booksellers. And now, back to the show.
You having worked as a psychiatric nurse for a little more than a decade, tell us how or about what your hopes are for the treatment of mental health patients, both in and outside the psych ward, in terms of holistic interventions like sacred therapy, because you were starting to go towards that when you were naming some of the alternative healing modalities a minute ago, but as it relates to integrative medicine.
Oh, yes. Dr. Kemp, I do indeed believe that sacred therapy is a significant pathway to health and healing, to gravitating towards balance, where it integrates many facets of the human experience, not only in the traditional Western sense of things, but by incorporating other schools of thought, philosophy, science, quantum theory, Vimy, and then most importantly, spirituality, which drew me considerably into your book. Not religion per se, and it's dogma.
Exactly, it's many ways, right.
Right, but spirituality, Dr. Kemp. Just to bring a little history into the conversation, Western medicine has been in existence for only less than 400 years, Dr. Kemp, something like
mm-hmm.
that. And Eastern medicine, on the other hand, and other pathways to health and healing has been in existence for over thousands and thousands of years. And we are here not talking about 3,000 to 5,000 years. I believe with even more a considerable amount of evidence that's being uncovered daily, we're talking between 15 to 16,000 of years. And that's just from the present archaeological evidence that's being uncovered now. But I believe from past history and its true and ultimate essence, it goes way, way further, deeper into history than that. So the key lies here in energy, intention, vibration, and in frequency, a heart-centered consciousness, consciousness and awareness, the unified field of things that we cannot see. And that's where the mystery pertains when we are uncovering the many facets of what can heal us. It is from what cannot be seen and from what quantum theory resonates towards too from many, many thousands of experimentations that leads to this point. True and ultimate reality doesn't reside from just the five senses. It resides from many other realms of the human experience. I believe from the five senses alone, it's only 8 to 9, I'll give it maybe 10% of total reality that exists. But when we look at other realms of things that we cannot see energetically, it basically goes into focus into the many realms of the 90% and the many dimensions of how we can approach things. And that is what psychotherapy does, essentially, especially within the book. You touch
Thanks.
Many parts of the book, not just, again, philosophically or just spiritually or just science, you integrate that together. And that's what the whole mission, I believe, from UMB is, the whole integrative medicine that is being incorporated into not just one little hospital system to the next. We're talking about corporations, huge hospital systems. And I thank you for your leadership and providing for that mainframe of a new revolution of healing and health and all facets of the human experience.
Well, I think it's time because, like you said so beautifully, this is really the dominant healthcare system because it's been since the beginning of time. And so the last 400 years, even though the medical model would argue that that's progress, what I see is that the integrative of not minimizing all that we've come through as a people, and it's only in America because outside of the United States, people in other cultures appreciate holism. They already understood. They didn't throw out the baby with the bathwater. They understood this very important blending of the physical and non-physical, and they had an appreciation for all of this. And so it's high time that I think that we stop minimizing the shaman, the medicine man, and understand that there are many pathways to knowing. You know, the knowledge of anything is a philosophical discussion all by itself. And so unless we are really treating the whole person, I don't see where that was progress at all. To me, it left out. It was fragmented beingness is what we were dealing with here. And so
right. It's
crucial that we bring it back. And I think, fortunately, we're living at a beautiful time in history where it's coming. And I love that there's now even a place called integrative medicine, even though many came kicking and screaming and we're still a very small minority. I think that this definitely is the wave of the future. And so I appreciate you appreciating that about my book. And so that's great. On that line, it's good to see, though, that a few hospitals, as you said, are including this integrative medicine practice and attempting to treat the whole person, even though they're in that minority that I was talking about. But it pleases me to see that there's a global awakening is beginning to occur as many hospitals and clinics are embracing meditation that you talked about a minute ago and energy medicine, which some call light touch here in Florida. So you talk about this global awakening as well in your book as meditation in the book of positive light, because you're also an energy Reiki practitioner. So can you please tell our audience how you view this global awakening and how those two practices fortify mental and emotional well-being, the meditation and energy medicine that you spoke of earlier?
Dr. Kemp, the whole global awakening thing, it just, for some odd reason or the next, within the ego, it seems very out of place. But then throughout the whole process of journal writing and just the synchronistic moments that was acquired along the way of writing this 363-page journal written type of creation, global awakening just came out of it. And I really didn't understand it. It was as if the writing was taking a life of its own. And then I started to realize from the whole process that when we start to journal write, especially, and that within itself is a beautiful therapeutic approach. It is a coping skill that not a lot of people take considerably serious, and it is often shunned at, and I wouldn't say frowned upon, but smiled at it, and they just don't take it too seriously. But in all actuality, it's a form of meditation as well, of self-reflection. And often at times through the process of running, of meditation, of just remembering a wonderful memory in life, or perhaps even just a wonderful workout, or even just creating a wonderful painting, that within itself, that behavior, that intention, that thought process brings you into alignment into a heart-centered type of consciousness. And when you do so, you activate the many levels of the heart. And the heart within itself then becomes a doorway or portal into what quantum theorists reflect upon as the very interconnection that we can reach into this field, the unified field. Of course, there are many fields within the environment as we speak. And when we talk about fields, there are multi-levels of dimensions, multiverses, which are created. But then when we start to acknowledge the global mind of things, all of these fields. And so when you are interconnected with the heart within itself, and I do believe that there is a shift that is being involved here. And of course, it's not an understanding or a reality that is being displayed within the popular media. And that's fine, you know. But again, from what we cannot see, that is what most of the reality is. And we can feel this. Through the mind and the ego within itself, we have to obtain a certain level of understanding of truth. And but within the heart within itself, under other realms of things, there is no need for proof. There is just a knowing, an understanding. And this is a global awakening of sorts, as it refers to integrative medicine. And just the beautiful thing about this global awakening is that it is being exposed to us consciously, not only from amongst one spectrum of the global population or theology or science, but it is being felt and experienced by all cultures, religions, spiritualities, colors, nationalities, and from amongst all walks of life. And this is not New Age, Dr. Kemp, as you and me well know. A new
exactly.
age kind of material. That's what, you know, just
it's as old school as it gets. Yeah, the ancients understood this very
yes.
well, very well, you know. So you're right on track with that. You described it beautifully. You described it beautifully. I love how you articulate your perspective on that. Speaking of which, I do a segment on my show called Sacred Soul Travel, and that's why this global awakening to me is people are reconnecting back to the soul. In fact, my little motto this year is called, you know, from psychotherapy to sacred therapy, where aligning with the soul makes you whole, because people are reconnecting back, and it's going beyond all of what we're talking about. We're not seeing ourselves in this one-dimensional way anymore, and so people are starting to tap more into it. And so this segment of the show that I call Sacred Soul Travels, because I call my audience my fellow soul travelers, so that's why we called it that.
Great.
So
wonderful.
Sacred Soul Travel is where I highlight sacred places and spaces that we've either visited or want to visit to do some of these sacred therapy retreats that I do. And so in reading your book, I see that you've also visited some of the most spiritual sites, Joel, in the world, like Sedona, where we just had our most recent sacred therapy retreat back Labor Day weekend. And you've been to Machu Picchu in Peru and other sites like that. And so as a world traveler, do you feel that visiting those sacred sites fortified your spiritual insights in a way that had you not visited, you might not have been this spiritually attuned as you are?
Well, Dr. Kemp, wow, I haven't thought about this for a long time, but just reflecting back upon the very beginning of this journey, this pathway to, again, not the external environment of things, but more or less going inward. I remember when I, well, just to reflect back in the very, very beginning, right before even writing the book, and I believe it's in the very first portions of the book within itself, preface, and for which I had mentioned that I was having a difficult time during a late night shift, and I was
at the hospital.
At the hospital. And I was working at the VA at the time in the psychiatry emergency room, one of the, I believe, three psychiatry emergency rooms in Ohio, period. And I had just basically was receiving a great deal of just depression, and I was very sad and lonely at the very time. But then I just started to figure out, I still got like another 10, 9 hours to go, and I just can't operate this way. I was very sluggish. And so I started looking through magazines and went through a few of them. I really don't know if it was a National Geographic or anything more for that matter, but it was a picture book, and it was reflecting upon not so much sacred sites, but just very beautiful places. And there is, I turned the page right into the middle of the magazine, and when you know the very image of this panoramic view that just took up the left and right page, the image, the panoramic view of Machu Picchu, Peru, and from within me, I just felt like I need to go to a place, or it wasn't essentially about going there and not being able to know what this place is about. It was like I had to return to a place.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of freaked me out a little bit. Return? What do you mean return? You've never been here before. And along the way, just many things just started to resonate. That it was a memory of popping out from one particular experience to the next. And so, long story short, I found myself in Sedona, Arizona, the following year. And this was in 2011. And this, I found myself in Sedona, Arizona, when I knew for myself from experiencing another backstory to where I was seeing the 11s, 111, 1111, unlicensed plates, clocks on people's jerseys. It was everywhere, and it was starting to get a little irritating because I was starting to tell people about it, and they were looking at me kind of funny. But I knew this was significant, you know. And so I knew within that year, Dr. Kemp, that there was a date. It was going to be November 11th, 2011. And so I just Googled it rather quickly, and I believe it was might have been July at that time. And the first thing that popped up was Sedona, Arizona. And so it told me, and that, Dr. Kemp, it's all about breadcrumbs, and that's the interconnection with synchronicity. I started to pick up one breadcrumb, one to the very next, and it led me to these wonderful people. And one of those wonderful people was Aluna Joy and her partner, Raphael Grassmeyer, and for which they themselves, whom they currently reside in Sedona, but they offer these sacred site trips and pilgrimages to wonderful places such as Chichen Itza and the Mayaland and the Yucatan to the Great Pyramids and the Great Giza Plateau to many other sites in England and Scotland. And another destination, Peru.
What are they called again?
Machu Picchu, Peru. What was that, Dr. Kim?
What's the name of this place? These two people that you name, you say they coordinate these trips?
Oh, yes, definitely.
What's the name of it
Joy,
so the audience can know?
Oh, yes. I'm not really sure about the actual organization, but
these
two individuals, they actually orchestrate these trips yearly, and
their
names are Aluna Joy Yaxkin and
they can
and
Google
Raphael
them. Aluna Joy. Okay, yeah, maybe they might be able to help coordinate with some of the sacred therapy retreats too. But go ahead, finish your story. I'm sorry.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely interconnection is at most the best that we can provide for each other, and that's what it's all about. The unity of it all. And, you know, you'll start to find that, that you know, you might even start to form a relationship with these wonderful individuals in Sedona. And again, again, you had been so doing recently.
Donna is now an annual thing. I mean, I will have to, like, I love what you just said about Machu Picchu and the fact that it felt like you were returning. But, I mean, in my case, when I literally started crying when we got to Sedona. I mean, and this wasn't just tears. I had deep sobbing. I mean, I couldn't stop crying. My husband's like, "What's wrong with you?" And I said, "I said it's something about this place." As soon as I realized that, I mean, the brochures do not do this place justice. I mean, and the brochures are beautiful, but when we got there, oh my goodness! I mean, literally, I wanted to kiss the ground, and it was. Doing Tai Chi there, because, you know, I'm a Tai Chi graduate and I incorporate that in my retreats, but doing that, everybody felt the energy. And it was just, you know, it was just the most spiritual thing that it's just something about it. So I said, okay, no matter how many we do other places, I have to return. It's just like I have to go there for myself. Even if I don't do a retreat, I have to go there. But everybody I've told about it, I told him, it's something you have to experience. Don't you agree?
Oh, yes, yes. It was an inner knowing and inner yearning that you had to satisfy. If there's anything that we can relate ourselves to as far as addiction, I guess it's that further need to basically satisfy that portion of ourselves that we need to fill. And that was one of the things that I had to do, was go to a sacred site. And I didn't really know essentially what the whole meaning of going to such a site was until I started to become more in alignment to that consciousness. And so I often wonder why I was drawn to such sacred places. Initially Machu Picchu and then Sedona, Arizona. I often wondered why I was led to these places spiritually. Now, essentially, from what I had rediscovered about these sacred sites is that they are designated regions of heightened vibration. Mm-hmm. And when vortexes, especially in Sedona, Arizona, but many points of vortex energy, many of the trees around, especially Cathedral Rock and Bell Rock, many of the trees there, I forgot what the name of the...
Juniper trees.
Juniper trees.
They have
beautiful,
the...
Beautiful, wonderful trees. And
Sedona, it's only 17 major vortexes worldwide, and Sedona has 4 of them. So that was fascinating, and I think that adds to the energy. And because the red rocks, all of that red, what makes them red is the iron, and iron carries a conduit for energy. So I think that's what also adds to it, because it was, you know, it's just so much of the whole archaeology part of it. But this isn't a Sedona interview, so we won't stay on that. But it definitely sounds like... You see the value in spiritual retreats that elevate us to this heightened awareness of the fullness of our being, mind, body, and spirit, and that higher consciousness you're talking about. And since you chronicled some of your travels in your book, allow me to take advantage of your firsthand knowledge about a spiritual site that's even closer to your home right there in Ohio, which is called the Great Serpent Mound. And I think it's Adams County. I'm always looking for places right here in our own backyard in America so that we can keep these retreat costs affordable. So what spiritual lessons or ancient wisdom regarding the joy of living does the Great Serpent Mount offer us in terms of landscape and heightened consciousness?
Wonderful, wonderful question. Right before we get into Serpent Mount, I just want to put in just kind of place in a little blurb there, Dr. Kemp. I would just like to open your awareness, if you are not already aware, to another sacred site of which also garners a significant level of heightened consciousness. And that is exactly within your own backyard in Miami, Florida, Coral Castle in Homestead. Are you familiar with Coral Castle?
Coral what? I know Coral Reef down there. I've never heard of Coral. Right? Did you say cancer?
Coral Castle. In Homestead.
Coral Cancel. No, I'm not familiar with that. That's interesting because I lived in South Florida, you know, before I moved to Tallahassee. I'll have to check into that. Coral.
Coral
are you saying
Castle.
Council, C-O-U-N-C-I-L?
Actually, it's a castle. It's a C-A-S-T-L-E, Coral
Castle. Oh, Castle. Coral Castle.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a most recent site that was built by Edward Leeds Scallion himself. He was a Lithuanian immigrant that came in during the early 1900s, and he had built this castle made out of coral. I believe there's two different types of coral rock. And just from his own exposure to the mystery schools, and not a lot of people have really known too much about his past history and education, but he had incorporated this knowledge from his many, many years of exposure to the mystery schools of Pythagoras, the mystery schools of ancient Egypt, and he was able to create this castle made of megalithic rock. I mean, just tons and tons of megalithic rock, weighing in excess of 50 to 60 tons. And you have to visit this place. It's very magical. There's a lot of sacred geometry that is integrated within the whole concept and philosophy and the spirituality of such a place. And so, again, this is entirely another show.
I appreciate that. Thank you. I'll definitely look into it.
But just to reflect back onto your original question, the Great Serpent Mound of Adams County, Ohio, is truly, truly one of the most significant landmarks of ancient sacred tradition, symbolically, philosophically, spiritually, and scientifically. And long story short, it is a very old and spiritual site. It is an effigy mound created by either the Adena or the Fort to over more than 6,000 to 7,000 years in age in Native American tradition, one may think. But according to Douglas Ross Hamilton, who is the leading authority on the Great Serpent Mound, and for which he is one of the authors, or actually the main author of The Mystery of the Serpent Mound, Star Mounds, and A Tradition of Giants. And I actually had him, I believe he was one of the first of five guests on my show, on the Quantum Mindfulness Radio. And according to him, he states that it is much older than that, much older than 6,000 to 7,000 years in age. And it possesses a strong relationship to sacred geometry, alchemy, manifestation, kundalini energy, and alignment to some of the other sacred sites throughout the world. And the list just goes on and on and on. But the main reason of why I ultimately feel that I was drawn to such a place was not only for the manifestation and the realization of my own intentions. I was actually brought forth in dream to where I was. I actually experienced the Great Serpent Mound in a first dream, and then a second dream, and then a third dream. And all of these dreams happened one night after the other. And the dream showed me a bit about a certain portion of that site. And unless you were well-versed about it, you would know about it. But in actuality, I did not even know anything about this site. Just a little small details of it, I had no idea. But when I was... basically just sitting there within the moment during and actually after the third dream, I started to reflect on these details. And so I made a determination that I needed to go to such a place. And when I journeyed to this place, along with my friend and her daughter, we just took that 4-hour trip. And at the time, I did not know that it took 4 hours. I thought it was just merely just 2 hours from within itself. But we went over there, and we just had the most gratifying experience, very magical, very alchemic in nature. And to tell you the truth, the very front of my book, the Book of Positive Light, there's the image of and her daughter. At the time, her daughter was, I believe, only 2 or 3 months in age. And when I had taken that picture and when we had to look at the negative and other portions of the stream of pictures that we had taken on that day. This picture of her and her daughter with the creek in the background and the Serpent Mound in the front, it was essentially a symbolic image of the great divine feminine, which is essentially the consciousness, the energies that are basically blessing our planet today. And it's according to the cycle of things to where we are ending the cycle, which basically happened in 2011. And now we are basically in the very beginning portions of this new cycle of this divine feminine type of energy. And this all relates to the mystery schools of Delphi, of Pythagoras, from where the main tenet of such a sacred site resonates the very message of, if thou shalt know the universe, then thou shalt know and rediscover thyself. Again, from within, total alignment to not only my book, but the Serpent Mound type of energy that relates with the interconnection with the meridians and the ley lines of Mother Earth, of Mother Gaia. But it also relates to, I guess subconsciously, to what your message is all about within your book, The Answer Lies From Within. And this is what your book basically entails. It's the whole unraveling of the lotus, you know, one step at a time, just like the many layers of an onion. And once you are able to delve into these layers, you more or less do not look into the exterior of things. You look from within. And again, I thank you for creating such a book, From Psychotherapy to Psychotherapy.
Well, thank you, Joe. You have such a wonderful way of putting everything. Your journey, I mean, really chronicles you having been both a student and a teacher. And so as a teacher, what is the dominant message that you want your readers and our listeners today to retrieve and absorb from your book?
Well, the very message of which the Book of Positive Light, Remembrance of the Heart, is truly exuding is this. There is an awakening, an awakening of sorts that cannot be explained egoically. And as you yourself awakens to an inner truth through the breadcrumbs of life, through synchronicity, if you are courageous enough to pick up these breadcrumbs, which lead to a path, the world should also awaken itself to inner truth. And what is this inner truth? Love. Love is the key. The heart is the key. Consciousness is the key. The glue that interconnects us all together through the closing of our eyes and in the opening of our hearts. The illusion lies from within the fear. And when we are to find the significance and meaning to all of these individual parts through this interconnection in consciousness, we shall then find that God is none the far nor distant from our individual self. God and the Holy Divine lies from within all of our hearts. Heart consciousness, and for which when we start to realize that we are within ourselves, that the second coming, we are the ones that we are waiting for. And so essentially love, the sacred heart, consciousness, divinity, and humanity are all interconnected as one. There is no separateness. And according to Thich Nhat Hanh, the illusion lies from within our separateness.
I would totally agree with that. Joe, you have had such an amazing and awakened journey and demonstrate, as far as I'm concerned, that anything out of alignment can come back into alignment. Not only can we survive, but we can thrive. And you've definitely shown through what you've shared with us today in your book of the Book of Positive Light that we create the life we want to live. And so do you have any final words of inspiration for my specific listeners who are embracing the holistic solutions and journeying with me through the 8 steps of my book, From Psychotherapy to Sacrotherapy? What can you tell them specifically?
Well, life is definitely for sure like a journey. We must let it flow smoothly and energetically without restriction. and without judgment. The lesson from life, Dr. Kemp, unfolds synchronistically when the time is right. And sometimes when we are in flow, such as you and me, at a certain level, the frustration is that, why doesn't our neighbor go with the flow? Why doesn't our significant other, or some of our family members, why aren't they in the flow? Well, at that particular moment, and this is for the many people who are starting to awaken, or even for those who are already awakened from within themselves, that there is a certain level of frustration. And when we start to acknowledge that there is a responsibility involved, the meaning starts to surface both from within itself. And that's where the encourage starts to take place. And it is a very scary confrontation of a reality that starts to take form, because there is an internal environment that just wants to scream out its true and ultimate nature. But then our surrounding landscape does not reflect that in the same fashion. And again, to all of those people, all of the light workers out there, the rainbow warriors per se, and the many other different callings that people are compelled to exonerate and to take place and to form, for those individuals, and know that we are in a wonderful place, and we've chosen this place of opportunity, this great awakening of sorts, this golden of age of things for which we are the leaders. We are the light, and must be able to shine that light within the darkness, not only in the exterior realms of things, but within our own internal environments. This is the time when we must look within. And just remember that the answer lies not from the superficiality of things and the news broadcast to the drama that we can find ourselves in and our own relationships with different people from outside of ourselves. But indeed, Dr. Kemp, from within the simplicity of things, from within the open-handedness of our inner self, the answer lies from within you. And that is exactly how Dr. Kemp's book, From Psychotherapy to Psychotherapy, demonstrates itself. The 8 steps from within the very pages of this book, which guides you and allows you, the reader, to open the many levels of awareness, from that of a knowing of unawareness to that at a more heightened level of knowing, to where we are now more than able to become part of an awakening consciousness, a Christ consciousness that contributes to, the betterment of human lives, to the exposure of not only an inner truth, but to that of a global truth. We are all interconnected. We are not approaching these newer stages of evolution and revolution in consciousness alone. We are all in this together. And when we are then more than able to embody this wisdom, our global consciousness can ultimately shift to the next higher stages of our conscious evolution. And we must do this together, Dr. Kim.
That you just said that so beautifully. I know my audience is thrilled. I'm going to get a lot of texts and emails on this interview with you. You did such a beautiful job. I knew that Spirit led me to have you start off this new path that we're adding to the show. This dimension is so meaningful, and now I just talking to you tonight, I really see why it's important that we get others like you to chime in on this. So, Joe, I'm just so thrilled. Thank you so much for coming on the show, and again for having me on yours last year. So can you please share with my audience where they can get the Book of Positive Light, and share with them your website on your radio talk show, Quantum Mindfulness Radio. I'm sure they'll want to tune into that too. So take it from here.
Thank you, Dr. Kim, for this opportunity. And for those of you who are compelled to read into the very pages of my own heart during that progression, that journey into the inner self, please feel free to log on to my website for the Book of Positive Light, Remembrance of the Heart. And you can tune in to the website in itself at www.thebookofpositivelight.com. Again, that is www.thebookofpositivelight.com. www.joelmcdonald.com. And you yourself, if you have basically missed an opportunity to listen on into our conversation between Dr. Kemp and the wonderful book From Psychotherapy to Sacrotherapy, please log on to the website at the BBS Radio Network, as a matter of fact, at www.quantummindfulnessradio.com. Again, that is www.quantummindfulnessradio.com. And all shows are archived on the BBS Radio Network free of charge. By all means, feel free to explore and delve into the many conversations that have led to many pathways to truth. And Dr. Kemp, I must thank you for your journey within itself and for what you have been compelled to do for people who are not only awakened and questioning the things that are happening right now and the very many struggles that are incorporated within our consciousness, but for all other people who are not awakened and exposing this level of higher vibration to the masses. And I thank you, and I am indebted to your service for all of what you have done in many, many years prior to even my own awakening. So I thank
you
for the opportunity.
Well, thank you very much. Very, very kind of you to say, and it's been a pleasure. You take care, and you have a wonderful new year.
That goes out to everyone, too. I want you to continue having a great new year. Please join us next time for our conversation with several veterans with regards to post-traumatic stress. As you know, the movie American Sniper has been in the news all over the place. And as a clinician, I naturally treat post-traumatic stress and have treated several veterans and wanted to have a dialogue about this from the sacred therapy perspective. And so join us next time, and I think I'm going to have Joel come back since he is a veteran and a psychiatric nurse. I'd love him to join in that conversation too. So join us next time for sacred therapy and post-traumatic stress and how we're going to also extend that dialogue to others who have other forms of trauma that's not related to war, but just post-traumatic stress in general. And so I think that's going to be a wonderful conversation to add healing to many. So join us next time for that. And so until next time, be well and be free. Take care now.
You're listening to the From Psychotherapy to Sacrotherapy radio show with Dr. Amelia Kemp. Based on the groundbreaking new book, From Psychotherapy to Sacrotherapy, Alternative Descriptions and Healing Processes for 170 Mental and Emotional Diagnoses Worldwide. Available now at Amazon.com and most booksellers.